We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the line right now, he's a radio.com sports
insider. He's become
NBA
one of our top guys, this guy.
Oh, we love this guy.
We do love him.
He's doing
we love him 10 minutes ago, but.
No, well, we kill him
we'll
a bunch of times. He's a broadcaster now. He was doing the Celtic game last night.
Doing his Celtic games now?
Yep. And all insider calls are brought to you by Favreau.
He's doing with Johnny Most. Oh, that's Johnny Most-ism.
No. Now in two great tropical flavors. And that, of course, is Kendrick.
I could not stand Johnny
Perkins.
Most, by the way. Hi, Kendrick. How are you?
What's up, my good people? My New York buddy.
Hey.
What's up, bro?
How long, serious question.
Boy, oh, boy.
Did you rehearse
the
that
Celtic
butt-kissing thing you
kissing
did last
the rear
night
end
for
of
the
all
Celtics?
The Celtic fans? They're so wonderful. Oh. I mean, what?
Oh, my God.
Which one?
Tell you when you were
how
talking
great
about,
the fans are you when you played you didn't realize you were so locked in. Now that you're not playing and you absorb all the greatness of the fans in Boston. Oh my God! Oh, Kendrick.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna keep it going until they put a statue in a statue of me in front of the TD Bank Ball Court.
Here's the statue. It's gonna have Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Hondo. Hold on. Hondo's got to be there. And then Kendrick Perkins.
Paul Pierce, then Kendrick Perkins.
Paul Pierce first.
I got to put Hondo ahead of Paul Pierce here now. Come on.
Sam Jones
ahead of Paul Pierce, don't we? Kevin McHale ahead of Paul Pierce, don't we? Come on.
I don't know. Do we?
I think so.
Come on, that's his teammate. That's the guy that got him a title. You can't ask him to put him behind guys.
I'm just saying. I mean, these guys won, like, the guys I'm talking about won, you know, like 7-8 titles, some of them.
See, here we go. So that means Robert Horry is better than Charles Barkley.
No. Come on.
No, I'm just asking.
I know you're young, but you can't sell me Paul Pierce being better than John Havlicek. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't sell me that one.
Do you know what, Bob? We're not going to even go there, okay? We're not about to do that today.
Oh, okay.
You know what Paul Pierce would do to John Havlicek?
Oh, don't do this. Don't do this.
Are you kidding me?
You are killing.
Now, let me tell you something right now. I'm a Knicks fan for my whole life, so let me say that. And I couldn't stand Bill Russell or Havlicek. But I had tremendous respect for these guys. You are putting the great Hondo down? Come on.
No, I'm not putting him down. But we can't disrespect the legacy of Paul Pierce.
I'm not disrespecting him. I'm just saying he wasn't Hondo. That's all. And I don't even know if he was Sam Jones, for that matter. I don't know.
Ooh, the disrespect.
What disrespect? We're talking about these are all-time greats I'm talking about
here.
He's
more pumping up guys from an earlier generation disrespecting Paul Pierce. You know?
It's not really – I'm not disrespecting him.
No. Paul, look.
He was a tremendous player. I mean, he killed my team all the time, but I'm not – but so did everybody else that played for the Celtics.
I'm just saying, if you go pull up the record book for the Celtics, Paul Pierce is at the top of the list in all categories.
That may be, and I'm not saying he wasn't. He played there for a long time. I get it. But all I'm saying is I can't put him ahead of John Havlicek.
But you know
I can't do that.
Paul Pierce is not putting ahead of him John Havlicek is that on that championship team you guys are on, Kendrick, he's the face of it. He was the guy that was there.
Him and Garnett.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
And that,
him
that
and
matters.
Garnett. Yeah, definitely.
That matters
in
a big way.
You know what? In all seriousness, I was just playing with y'all about the Havlicek thing, but people don't give Paul Pierce enough respect for the guys that he went through to go get that title at that time.
Yeah, like, he played on some, you know, not I wouldn't say bad Celtic teams, but certainly not the caliber of the teams that Havlicek or Sam Jones played on. So I agree
right.
with that.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, he had to go through a Joe Johnson first-round head-to-head matchup. He had to go against, LeBron James. He had to go against you know, Rip Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince, and then finished off with a head-to-head matchup against the great Kobe Bryant.
No, I got
to win
you.
The title. That was pretty impressive.
No, I'm with you on that.
Well, we
and
understand.
That was a hell of a team. And what was amazing about that team, Kendrick, is that when they made those deals, we all knew they would be good. I don't think we thought they would be that good that quickly. I mean, right out of the gate, they were like 18-2, whatever it was. It just meshed so quickly. That's why whenever I hear about, oh, it takes time to gel, I think about that Celtic team and say, does it take time to gel? Didn't take that much time.
But you know what? Let me tell y'all something. And this is what I try to make people realize is that it do take time if you're a young ball club. But if you're a veteran team, See, what people don't realize is that Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, the only thing that they had left in their career to do was win a title, right?
They had accomplished. Yes, that is true.
So when you're in your late 30s and you 32, 33, you tend to learn how to sacrifice. That was the same thing for us when you looked at Miami. Miami, they went broad and wasn't in their 30s, but they was 27, 28, you know, 30, they had accomplished a lot. That's what I try to make people realize about the Oklahoma City Thunder team that had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant, that although they did make a historical run, it was still hard for those guys to sacrifice because they were still trying to find themselves. So it all depends the age bracket. You know, like LeBron knows, like LeBron came out early in the season and said, you know what? This is basically Anthony Davis' team, and I'm going to take a back seat, which I think spoke volumes. Now, what Bron would have said that if he was 29 years old, probably not. But he's 35, year 18. You know, he's putting his pride aside.
Yeah, but it's still LeBron's team. I mean, come on.
No, it is. He's doing some unbelievable things at year 18, I tell you that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. There's no doubt about it. We're talking to our good buddy, Kendrick Perkins. Now, not only did you praise the Celtic fans till kingdom come, but you also took a shot at Kyrie Irving. How could he not want to play for this franchise? You did say
and
that.
And also said he makes him want to throw up. I mean, that's pretty hard.
Well, he makes you want to throw up occasionally. Well, even me, I'm not even a Net fan, and I want to throw up with Kyrie sometimes.
All the time. So listen, y'all can't tell me over the last month and a half, every time Kyrie, especially the interview he did on Martin Luther King Day. Did y'all hear that interview?
Of course. I heard it.
Did it not make y'all sick to your stomach? Like, what are you talking about?
You know,
like,
what? But Kendrick, to me, I want to see him play. Because when he's played for the Nets this year, he's played well. The game he had before he got hurt with the knee issue was one of the most efficient big performances you'll ever see. And it's just that every time you think, all right, maybe this team could gel, we're going to get to see Kyrie, something happens. And I don't know when we're going to see him again. So to me as a fan, that's my biggest frustration with him, just seeing him on the court.
You know what's crazy is that me and Brian Scalabrine have this argument on our daily podcast all the time. And we always look at the Brooklyn Nets and we say, oh, is Kyrie not playing? Or are we going to pick them to win tonight?
But you know what?
Kyrie's going to 54 and you don't see him for a month.
I know.
You know.
But let me ask you a fair question, all right? Because I brought this up the other day, and we didn't spend that much time on it because they're the Pacers. But what do you make of them? The Pacers are playing so well. Victor Oladipo comes back. They start him off the bench. Now he's starting. They can't get out of their own way. I mean, do you put a lot of Indiana's six-game losing streak on Oladipo's back? Because if that was Kyrie Irving, you guys would be crushing him.
No, you're absolutely right. And listen, from what I'm hearing is that I've heard that Victor Oladipo did some things that the Pacers were not pleased about.
Oh.
The way he went about his rehab.
Really?
He was shooting some type of documentary. So I've heard that he's not even close to 70%, they wasn't high on him coming back this soon, to be honest. I heard there's some problems going on over there between the Pacers and Victor Oladipo right now.
And it's probably
a reason why they're struggling right now.
Why do you think then that Kyrie is this lightning rod? And I get a lot of it is well deserved, yet a story like that, you know, nobody really talks about it. I mean, the Pacers can't get out of their own way. My team beat him the other night. The Knicks beat him on the road.
Yeah, right.
And yet
on the road,
that kind of stuff is just, and Oladipo's a star player. I mean, he's pretty good, yet that doesn't get talked about as much.
Because you know why? Because The Pacers and Victor Oladipo don't bring added attention to himself. Kyrie Irving does. And you could say the same thing when you make a case about LeBron James and Kevin Durant. LeBron James don't say – he says absolutely nothing when it comes down to media talking about him or criticizing him. Well, KD has a different approach. He's going to be himself, he say. So he talks. So he adds – he asks for that extra attention. Well, Victor Oladipo kind of just – you know, he's the, you know, the NBA type guy. The NBA wants him on when they're not playing. And he in Atlanta, they, you know, he goes up on there and do the broadcasting for NBA TV. So you got to understand that type of thing, too. Well, Kyrie is a guy who speaks his mind. He goes against the grain a lot. You know, he's not that liked around the NBA, but you have to respect his skill set. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, guys have their favorites, to be honest.
Talking to our good buddy Kendrick Perkins. Now, as a Knick fan, I think Mike Miller's getting a little bit of a short end of the stick here. I mean, this guy, I don't know what kind of coach Mike Miller is, but the bottom line is this, since he's took over with this team, they're actually 13-19. Now, that's not great, but you are talking about the Knicks. They were 4-18 with Fizdale, and all I hear is, that they, you know, they're looking to dump the guy. I mean, shouldn't the guy get a fair shot to be the coach of his team, Kendrick?
I do. You know what? You know what's crazy? I don't know what direction the Knicks are going in. Matter of fact, who was the guy? Let me explain something about the Knicks organization.
It's brutal.
This explains it all.
It's terrible.
It's
we know
horrible.
That.
Who was the guy on First Take yesterday talking about Toronto boy?
Yes,
Toronto
Steve
boy Drake. The one old boy Drake in,
yeah.
And the Knicks brought me in, and I was sitting looking at the television like, what?
And he's the brand. Isn't that the guy, the brand manager,
yes,
or whatever this guy
Steve
does?
Steve Stout. He's going to change the Knicks brand, Kevin.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how he's going to do that.
Like, think about that, right? Why do the Knicks need a brand manager?
Right.
They are the New York Knicks. Like, they still are a relevant franchise, whether they good or horrible. Like, the Knicks are the Knicks. Like, that's crazy.
They're the most and they are still, amazingly enough, the most valuable franchise in the league, which is mind-boggling when you think about it.
Incredible.
Right. Like, what are you putting your money into? How about adding an extra consultant? How about trying to go see if maybe I could pay Jerry West some extra money to come over here and help out and steal them from the Clippers or something to that nature.
What do you – and look, I saw what Stout was saying the other day.
I don't even think Jerry West could help the situation, honestly.
When I was watching Stout the other day, I just thought he was irrelevant. That's the way I looked at it. I said,
guy?
Who is this guy, a brand manager? He talks about firing the coaching staff. I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to do that, right. Leon Rose is. What do you think of that, though? Because it's like the – unspoken or spoken about thing that isn't official yet, that Leon Rose, the agent, is going to become the team president of the Knicks. Do you like that hire? Do you think that's the right decision? And what do you know about Leon as a guy?
Well, I know Leon has been a great agent around the league. I never heard anyone speak bad about the guy. I only heard positive things. But I did hear this, though. I did hear that job offer was on the table, and I don't know the guy's name, to Zion Williamson, agent.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah, before Leon Rose. And Leon Rose was like, hold on, let me get ahead of this. So I heard they was actually looking at him also. But I don't know. You know, to me, the firing, like, you could have waited. Like, it's only 30-some games left in the season, right? Maybe 40, close, 37, 38
right,
games
right,
left.
Right, something like that,
like,
right.
Like, just wait to the end of the season and just clean house. Like, you clean house the last game of the season. You still got 2 weeks left in April, all of May. You got, you know, like, take your time. Don't just fire somebody right before the All-Star break or right before the trade deadline and then all of a sudden bring some, like, I don't know. It's just a disaster. It's a disaster. It reminds me of my Dallas Cowboys right now.
Well,
come on. The Cowboys are in much better shape than the Knicks are. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's not even debatable, is it? I mean, come on. I understand that. I get that. But, I mean, come on. I mean, they're not with the – I realize the Cowboys haven't won a championship, you know, since 1995.
But we were the team. We were supposed to be in the playoffs this year.
You can't compare the Cowboys to the Knicks. The Knicks are a disaster. The Knicks may be the worst-run franchise in sports right now, right? I mean, am I wrong?
I agree. No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right. And it's a shame because, I mean, like, everyone, like, when you think about it, like, when I was growing up, when you used to think about the NBA, like, it was, you used to think about the New York Knicks or the Lakers. Like, that was my thing. Like, or the Boston Celtics. But you was New York Knicks, and then it was the Lakers. Like, when you thought about the NBA in my era, it was the Knicks and the Lakers. Like the Knicks, like, every kid, like, I remember my rookie year, I couldn't wait to just go step foot in Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've heard that a lot.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Now, your rookie year was what year?
2003.
2000. So the Knicks were already not, you know, Ewing was gone already. They were already on the downslide. Was already started already.
But the stench wasn't there yet, though,
Joe. Well, the stench wasn't there, but the downslide had already begun. Van Gundy left, you know, was already going downhill now, Kendrick.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't that far off, though. Like, they still.
No, I understand. It wasn't the disaster they are now. No.
Yeah, they were still making. During my first couple of years, the Knicks were still kind of making the playoffs, you know, a little bit at the 7-8 seed. And, you know, they were still relevant.
Yeah.
They was relevant in a positive way.
They didn't just hit rock bottom. Yeah, they made it in 2004. Why
would
I ever forget that?
The great Stephon Marbury's team.
The Nets beat them
tremendous.
In four. It was
Tim
great.
Thomas.
But you know what, Kendrick? Here's what's crazy about the Knicks, right? They run into PR embarrassments and all that. This stout guy being on TV saying the coaching staff's gone, sure, it's embarrassing. They have cap flexibility, and they got tons of draft picks.
Yeah, a lot of draft choices now.
If Leon Rose, Kendrick, knows what he's doing, they could turn this thing around quick. That's the funny thing about the Knicks right now.
Yeah, they could. And, you know, I actually talked with Coach Fizdale about 2 weeks ago, and he had nothing but high praise for R.J. Barrett. He said that the kid is going to be special. He said he works hard every day. He said he's super talented. Coach Fizdale really spoke highly of R.J. Barrett.
He's a terrible coach. He was a I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure it's great to work with him. Kendrick, was abysmal.
He didn't do a good job, Kendrick, at all.
You want me to tell you what Coach Fizdale is ready for?
Sure.
In my opinion, he wasn't ready for the rebuilding stage. Coach Fizdale is ready to coach a championship-type team.
Is he going
to
get that chance?
Well,
you think
a team
gives him that shot?
I think down the line he may get another shot, but I think he's more championship culture ready than rebuilding. And I think he was born in maybe thinking that, hey, maybe the Knicks might land Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That's what probably we might land, you know, don't land Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and sign six power forwards.
But wasn't that supposed to be the deal with Fizdale? That Fizdale had all these great, you know, relationships, and he was going to, like, lure these guys to the Garden. I mean, how'd that work out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be that way, but you have to understand now, it's a different, like this is a players' league. So, like, now guys are, hey, teaming up with their buddies. That's what it is now.
Yeah.
Kendrick, I got to be honest with you, and I told myself I wouldn't do this, but I'm doing it. So I'm a hypocrite. Every time I see these videos of Kevin Durant running around on a basketball court, I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's coming back. He's coming back now. Like, it's actually going to happen this season. What are you hearing? Do you think Kevin Durant is going to play for the Brooklyn Nets this season as opposed to next?
No, there's no way he could come back right now.
No way. Okay.
No, there's no reason for him to. Like, I want to see Kevin Durant at 100% because, first of all, I know it's killing Kevin Durant right now not to be playing basketball. So can you only imagine the tear he's going to be on come next October, early November? I'm not going to lie. That's going to be something to see right there.
My partner's getting very excited.
I mean, I'm getting
– He's getting very excited with you painting this picture, Kendrick.
Painted.
He's going to be on a mission. I know that for sure. I know him. Good. It's killing him because one thing I know about KD, this is one guy that I know for sure. He's so humble that he don't care about, like, all the jewelry, the nightlife, the cars, and none of that stuff outside of basketball. All he want to do is hoop. That's all he wanted
but,
to do.
But, Kendrick, right? Let me just say this, because I want to make something clear. I don't want Kevin Durant back if he's not 100%. My question, though, is do you think it's possible that if he's cleared and he feels as if he's 100%? Because you just hit on it. The guy wants to hoop. The guy wants to play. I don't think he thinks about the net
record.
They get
the seventh seed. You know, the Nets wind up being the seventh seed in the East, and Durant says, hey, let's go shock the world.
Yeah, you can't see that?
No, I don't see it because of what happened last year. Like, if I'm him, I'm taking more than enough time. Like, you don't want this setback again. Like,
I don't. No, of course.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You cannot waste another NBA career rehabbing or you grow. No, you gotta just stay patient and just sit it all the way through. Like, I understand Klay Thompson is in a totally different category. Like, Golden State is the worst team in the league, but I'm pretty sure Klay Thompson is about close to coming back because I tore my ACL and I know it only takes 5 months, but he's not coming back because he's like, hey, let me get all the way healthy. Let me be 1,000%, not 100%. And I just want KD to be 1,000% because I'm telling you, holding him out, he's going to tear the league up next year. I already know.
Have you made up with him, by the way? Did he ever respond to
your
tweet?
You guys tied again now?
No, we didn't, but, I mean, you know, he know where my heart is, and I know where he is at, and, you know, what's meant to be is meant to be, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure I did my part. But it's still not going to make me stop me from doing my job. Like, you know, if he come out and KD is balling, then I got to give credit when credit's due. One thing about it is that I'm not biased. I don't hold grudges. And, like, you know, I'm all good with it. So I'm at peace with it.
So right now, we're talking to Kendrick Perkins. By the way, I got to before I even ask you this question, I saw you on TV the other day, and I had to do a double take. I thought you were James Harden. I mean, well, you're getting like a James Harden beard now, right?
Yeah,
no, I mean it. I thought it was him.
Yeah, I'm James Harden with an extra 300 pounds.
Oh,
yeah.
I wasn't going to say it.
And you actually did pass the ball occasionally, too, right?
Yeah, but I'm, hey, let me ask y'all a question real quick.
Yeah.
I went to the Rockets game last night. What do y'all think of the Houston Rockets right now?
Not winning a championship.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I will say,
that's exactly right.
I'd say, Kendrick? I'm fascinated by them because I'm fascinated by them trying to play the kind of basketball that they're trying to play without a big PJ Tucker playing the five. And I find it kind of interesting. You know, I look at it that way.
They can't win. You think they can win a championship?
Well, listen, I'm not going to go on the limb to say they're going to win a championship, but I will say this. They're going to cause problems in the Western Conference because if teams don't figure out how to adjust to that small ball, it's going to be a problem. Zone don't work and man-to-man switching don't work because nobody could guard Russell Westbrook or James Harden one-on-one. And once you get past that first line of defense, it's the curtains after that. And I wanted to, in particular, last night, I wanted to watch them go against a good Celtics team, right? That's stacked with perimeter defenders. Wouldn't y'all say?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Jaylen Brown,
Marcus Smart, absolutely.
Tatum. And when I tell you Russell Westbrook got to the paint whenever he wanted and abused them, I mean, it was assault and battery.
But Kendrick, I get what they're trying to do offensively from a floor spacing standpoint. What I wonder about is when you're in a best of seven series against Nikola Jokic, or you're in a best of seven series against the Lakers, or you got to deal with Anthony Davis, you got to deal with their bigs. Can Robert Covington playing the five work? Can P.J. Tucker being the tallest guy on the court? Well, actually, Covington is the tallest guy on the court. Can that work? I get what they're doing. I get what the math says. I get how it's going to help them offensively. I get how it's going to spread the floor. But I got to tell you, man, against a team with bigs like that, I don't think they can beat them.
Well, let me tell you this. Draymond, the Golden State Warriors won with playing Draymond Green at the five.
But you know what? They were historically good shooting the basketball. They had some of the greatest three-point shooters the sport has ever
probably the best
seen.
In Curry, right?
Okay, and I understand that. But guess what the game has right now? They have – this is probably the most dynamic backcourt in NBA history. Can you name me a backcourt in NBA history that's better than Russell Westbrook and James Harden?
Yeah, I can say Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Right.
I could even go back to my guys, Clyde and Earl, or Earl of Pearl, if we want to start going that route. You know what I mean?
Was they MVPs?
They weren't MVPs. They won championship. Well, they won a championship. Clyde won two.
But we're not about to put them in. I said two MVPs. These are two MVPs in they prime. You give me two guys that were MVPs in a backcourt that teamed up in they prime, like Harden and Westbrook.
Well, look, Steph and Clay can't claim that, mainly because they're on the same team.
Right.
But if they were on different teams, who knows? Maybe Clay would have won an MVP.
So you telling me that if Clay was on another team,
I think it's possible.
Won.
I think it's very – I think it's possible.
We'll never know, but I think it's possible.
We'll never know. They've been teammates their entire career. We don't know.
But look, we don't know what's about to happen this year because this is James Harden and Russ' first year playing together.
No, I get it. Look, they're dynamic. They're dynamic. I'm not sitting here like, you know what, all over those guys. They're tremendous. My bigger issue is just, can an NBA team that made history last week by saying we're not starting anybody or playing anybody 6'7" or taller, can that get through?
You think they can win an NBA
playoff?
Title? Really?
I can't see it.
You think they
What I saw right now? I understand this is the regular season, but I watched them every game except the Phoenix Suns game, right? They should have beat the Jazz. They had control of that game the whole game. They beat the Lakers. Mm. They beat the Lakers in L.A., and what they did was they made McGee and Howard irrelevant. They couldn't even play them in L.A. Like, the Lakers couldn't even put them on the floor, so they forced them to play Anthony Davis at the five. And do you know what Russell Westbrook did to Anthony Davis?
Yes.
He scored 7 out of 10 times on AD, on the isolation.
So you like the Rockets? You like the Rockets to come out of the West? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Okay.
Like, I went and watched them last night, and I was like, hold on, this might be a problem.
Here's what I would say, and this is why the first response I had to you was they're fascinating. I think they're fascinating to watch now. I used to never want to watch the Rockets. I think what they're trying to do is fascinating to watch, and we'll see if they can pull it off.
You know what? We're on the same page with that because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I used to be like, oh, the Rockets, man, that's horrible. But now I'm like, hold on, this is pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, you should check this out, Joe. I'm telling you.
No, I understand. I get what you're saying.
No, I'm rolling with you on that point. That's the point I was trying to make. Okay, you're right.
Thank you, man. Kendrick, we got to run. Always great talking to you.
Kendrick, we'll talk to you soon, huh, bro?
All right, thank y'all, man. Y'all have a blessed.
Kendrick Perkins, radio.com, sports NBA insider.
Kendrick's become kind of like the basketball, what Michael Irvin is to us in football, in a lot of ways.
I mean, no offense to Kendrick, not quite the player Michael was.
Well, he wasn't Michael Irvin as a player, but I'm just saying, I mean, as far as our go-to guy for the sport.
No, and he's
actually very good.
He's great because we can argue about a million different things. And
he's a fun guy.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
He is.
By the way.
And he doesn't like Kyrie.
No, I get it, which I change by the day on that.
Wow.
By the way, the Rockets play the Knicks in a couple weeks, so you'll get a chance to watch. I just think it's fascinating what they're trying to do.
No, I understand. And with the game the way it is today, I understand what their thought process is.
But even that's groundbreaking. Like, even in today's NBA
game. No, it is. It's groundbreaking. But you got to win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you got to win.
Well, that's the test. The test is going to be, can they get through the Western Conference? Can they beat Nikola Jokic in a 7-game series?
Right.
Rudy Gobert in a 7-game series? The Bigs in LA in a 7-game series? We'll see. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in 2 great tropical flavors. You can also hear Perk on Scal and Pals, available on radio.com and wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA from Perk, Brian Scalabrine, Rick Bucher, and more. Just search Scal where you find your podcast.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.